as she has said, I remember when we were borrowing money, robbing Peter to pay Paul, quite honestly, in that department. And the leadership that was there was a different classification as what we are now doing today. Her efforts, or the position's efforts, is much bigger than what we had quite some time ago. So to use the salary structure that we're talking about, needs to be higher to get qualified candidates for that position. And as you know, that department has raised their income, they've raised their responsibilities and duties to the community, working together with some other health organizations, which takes leadership that we can't do at a low level. Mm-hmm. So, you know, regretfully, and I understand you guys' position, but I think this is a position we really need to give some consideration to as we go forward, because we just can't get by with mediocre position at this point in time. So I support what she's been saying, and seeing and dealing the different steps that we have now grown is, as you know, just tremendously different than what it used to be. Yeah. So,
I appreciate those comments, and I would echo them. And that what I feel like we're doing this year is trying to look at those unique circumstances within that salary survey structure. And the unique circumstance to this one is that the salary survey was done in the pre-HFI era. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that completely changed.
Totally different.
The workload
right
and
now,
the
what we want
yeah.
to do.
Yeah.
So that position needs to be looked at, and the job description even changed exactly what we're doing now and to go forward rather than staying mediocre at the bottom.
So what we did, just to refresh everybody's memory, is we had a salary for the previous administrator that came in above the midpoint, and so that position stayed where it was per our strategy last year. But when it became vacant, it reset to the midpoint. And that's why it was reduced. So,
which is what we did for everybody.
Yeah.
Across
yes.
the board.
Yeah.
And we can't do that in every. I mean, there has to be some exceptions, and this is one department that had exceptions. And quite honestly, the state and the state of Indiana are pushing health care, and they're pushing all of the other items in which, you know, we need a qualified caliber person in that position, not what we've done in the past. So.
Thank you, Bert, and I appreciate that, Mr. So I would say, you know, it's not even an exception. It's that we've pivoted, is what I would say. I would tell you my staff certainly feel that pivot. They are working in new ways. They know that I'm still, I think I counted the other day, so I'm 65 days in what I've been doing. So okay. It's hard to imagine that amount of work in that time frame, but we are pivoting. We're also just getting started. Sorry to hear that. Poor Deanna probably redid these budgets a million times for me as we redefined programs, looked for waste, looked for opportunity, and then also brought ourselves up to speed on things that we're doing differently so we don't just cut off the end of the ham loaf, right?
Melissa, I would just want to say that we are thrilled to have you in the interim position that mm-hmm. you're in, and recognize that your skills would benefit us going forward. Mm-hmm. And that's why Alan was asking the
yes.
question, because we're
yeah.
trying to figure out where we need to go, what we need to do. And at the same time, we have this survey that we've been adhering to.
Yes.
And at the time, we did say that there would be some anomalies that we would have to look at along the way.
Yes.
So know that we really do appreciate all that you've done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, I really
want you to be as forthcoming as you can be with what it takes for this position, because that's part of the interim position's job.
It is. And that is why it didn't get posted in here, because we weren't actually there yet.
Right.
But definitely a conversation that's critical now to have, yeah. because as I shared with you yesterday during our regular council, we are now nearing that point. Wrapping up the food vector position, that vacancy, that kind of puts the team back together. It means that we are getting all the areas that we're currently working on are actively going forward. Now comes, honestly, the real hard work of where we're going long term. The partners you've heard us talk about, building those pages, even though I've heard people say, you know, oh, Health First Indiana is going to be going away. It readjusted But this is how the state will continue to do healthcare. I've been in a lot of conversation and already in a lot of meetings with our state leaders about Health First as they try to figure out this, and this is critical. This stage in Health First is kind of a critical spot of us moving forward, showing our measures, showing our adding our quality metrics, which is part of what I'm doing with the department. So I really feel like wherever we decide to take this, to pivot this position to, financially, we're prepared to do that. I have the name of public health administrator. I am truly directing. We have a health executive officer. We need that person. We need our health officer. She is our medical professional. She is our MD that we function under. Because of healthcare licensing, you have to have a medical doctor who directs, and we are in daily conversation. But the reality of the workload is going to be this position, and this is going to be the face of your health department. So I'll leave that at that as you guys work forward.
I think there's enough support at the state. Mm-hmm. I don't think Health First would have been cut, but I don't think it would have been cut as drastically had it not been for that last minute forecast of their shortfall.
Correct.
So I think there is a potential for it to come back up.
We do too. One of the first things I heard was, you know, they've cut our funding. The sky is falling. It is not. We are in good shape. I think the budgets before you will show you that. On 1159, again, the fact that we didn't have to overburden the county to continue our work, to not lose programs, to not lose people, to me was very important. And that, has been a big staple in what my work has been focused on the last few weeks.
I love how you've stepped up and participated with other department heads. I was in a commissioner's meeting when there was someone here who needed septic tank information, and when that man left with his petition, you went into the hall to help him figure out what his next steps were.
Absolutely. Your health department is a resource center. We are here to give people the resources they need to maintain a healthy county, and not to get off track, because I see Alan's look on his face there. that does tell me that, yeah, to talk about the numbers. But yes, please know that in that short time, I've also reached out to the other department heads, Carol, on that matter, to say, how can we help you? Mm-hmm. Right. We currently have a need for gas mask in this county for SWAT team. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? I have some air quality options, perhaps, or at least work with our opioid retainment to help them get this. And so making those connections, I think, are very important. Working with PPE distribution, Renee was kind enough to pick up for us, but the state offered a bunch of PPE. I reached out to every other department head, city and county, to say, hey, I have access to this. What of it would you like? Because again, we can't work in silos.
Right.
So, okay.
Well, I wanted to bring that up because it is an important discussion. I would view this as sort of the tactical aspect of the job, and
yep.
And that what you were referencing is a strategic, longer-term look, mm-hmm. and that setting that salary and getting that right person is the link. And so I just wanted to make sure it was on everybody's radar as one of the key issues we're going to have to decide,
yes.
I think, prior to budget adoption.
I do believe our HR lead, Cecily Ruffert, will have some additional input on that. If you would consult with her is where I would refer that to.
Okay.
Thank you.
So let's move on then, both on your presentation and in the budget, to the 1161.
Yep. 1161. Okay. So Health First Indiana. Again, this took a little bit of time to wrap my head around because we issue it to the state is when we opt in with a budget. I had them, that was done before I came in. They sent that back to me. And what we had submitted for the opt-in, because again, we were in mid-leadership, we were at deadline, there was a lot going on in the health department at the time. What they returned back to me and what we had submitted at that time was literally one single line of an expense, and that was all salary. Mm-hmm. So all $193,000 was going straight to salary, which again, they were making a move to make sure we got opted in and that we saved staff. But obviously, I couldn't run a program going forward to that. So that's why we have the change, and why you're seeing such a interesting budget as we divide out that $193,000 and then figure out how to grow it. So actually, you're seeing $255,000, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Because we had to go dip into carryover from 2024's to really balance things out. What questions do you have in that to start with? I'll point you to the second page of your, well, technically your one, two, three, fourth page of your PowerPoint. Total Health First Indiana plan for next year is $255,000. Of that, we have been awarded $193,575.40 for this coming year. So how do I make up that difference? I do that by going to my 2024 carryover, which actually holds almost $87,000 in it. We used $61,000 to blend with the $193,000 in order to keep ourselves on track. In perspective, 2025, I think everybody knows, we received $724,000. Again, I do not know how much that carryover will be left. We are spending large chunks of that, even though you don't see it all out of the expenses yet. That is, again, a very large part of my charge in the interim, is to get that $150,000 grant money out the door. 2024, we only had $375,000. And so $255,000 still puts us under where we used to operate as Health First Indiana. What I wanted to do is make sure that we didn't have administrative positions in that money. We wanted to maintain the fact that the intent of this is to have seed money for our community health partners, so we continue to support organizations around us. That would be about, it's a $35,000 that is allocated to chronic health, tobacco prevention, trauma and injury, maternal child health. Okay. So those get broke out. Healthy Community does a lot of that work. Also, our open door clinic. And then also community grants where we can. Currently, I've only funded my community grants additional on top of all that work at $5,000, because that was what was left in my budget at the end. That was the most I could scrape together. We do anticipate, we have heard as many other departments, that at the end of the legislative cycle, if they are able to come back and boost this $193,000 up, that we will be seeing an additional appropriation. That did happen last year as well. At the tail end, they trickled a little bit more money in. I think, was it couple thousand. If you look back on the Health First website, you'll see that we went from one allocation to a different higher budget, and that is why. So again, that additional monies will go for the things that we just could only earmark at this point. That allocation cut was 73% of the budget. We talked about the other things moving there as to what changed. KPI, key performance indicators, is what KPI stands for. This is a big key factor and focus, because we need to show the legislature what we are doing, right, and the effect it's having. That was the argument about why the funding was cut so deeply. Dr. Lindsay Weaver will be coming through our community. She will be actually joining us several times in the near future, who is your state health commissioner, to literally gather those stories and take them back to our legislation. Over in our carryover, under that yellow or that pink bucket, you're going to see the amount that we have divided out on both sides. So personnel cost $186,000. That keeps my benefits together with the two FTEs who we added last year. That's our community health worker and also our lead program, both key positions for us. Community health worker does provide us translation services as well. I've heard Carol bring that up in the past about stipends. We have a full worker who is focused on aiding all areas of our departments, a very key part of our team, to be there as your community health worker. We also do have, coming out of our carryover, two part-time positions. That's our clerk and our archivist. Again, I felt a little more safe putting them in a carryover fund versus a staple fund. There is on a line item probably an unfilled position for intern, but you'll notice I didn't actually fund, like, that we have no posting on that position. I don't want to lose the line item so that if down the road that becomes an option, we don't have to come back and start the process all over again. We moved a lot of supplies over here. Services were our big draw also for $64,000. Again, at one point that had been zeroed out completely, but it's so important that we keep a lot of our services going. That allows us to do our refrigerator maintenance, our generator maintenance, miscellaneous supplies for clinics, billboards, things like that. I mentioned to you the budget that's called 1206. Which is down here, and that's the local health trust. A lot of the money that I could not take care of in Health First got redesignated over there. So again, instead of drawing off the county, we felt it was important to use our own reserves to continue the program. And capital, when you see a dollar on something, it literally just means, well, we would love to be putting this money towards a larger thing, we know that we just simply can't this time, and so it's just an earmark.
Okay.
Okay. Anyone to 1161 questions?
So one question. I assume that the grant program that was put in place with the large $700,000+ has been eliminated.
It has not been eliminated.
Okay.
It's what has $5,000 in it currently.
Okay.
So that was what I heard first at the beginning. Well, obviously, we'll never do that again. Yes, the whole point, and you know, Laura, we're fortunate to have Laura Archibald, who sits on the governor's commission for Health First of some of these issues. The goal is not to. Health First really focuses on community health partnership.
Right.
If we just take this funding and say, okay, you know, they cut off our amount, and so therefore I'm going to keep it all to myself, and sorry about your luck, then those partnerships are going to die off. And that's not what we want. We want to continue to feed them, but we don't need to feed them as much. And it may be differently. Just because we have a health partnership doesn't mean it has to mean money. How do I give my services? How do I give my staff? How do I give my knowledge to those newly seeded partnerships? So this is really, and maybe it's just redirecting the narrative, but it's seed money. And now that's been planted. So now we're just going to lightly put on the fertilizer, right? That's my problem.
I appreciate that.
See,
yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay. No, and I love the way you dipped into the 1206 and utilized the immunization funds. That makes a lot of sense.
Yep. I know that we don't actually cover the other two budgets. And actually, there's even another slot of budgets with our public health emergency planning. But the next pages are a little bit of how I'm supporting 1159 and 1161, that LHDTA I told you about. Mm-hmm. That beginning balance that we were sitting on is $130,000.
Yeah.
So again, it's a little hard to run around and say the sky is falling when you have that in a reserve. Mm-hmm. Now, we have worked very hard to build that up. And we don't know how long this drought is going to run, right, with the Health First money. That may need to survive. We may need to survive off that for a very long time. So I really wanted to be more conservative. I only wanted to access a third of it. We are a little over that third. Maybe not. Yeah, we are. We're at right about one third, because this, at least I know, could still continue to fund us for 27 and 28 if we had to. But I would like to see it funding us in 2030 and 2035. Mm-hmm. So hopefully things will pick up. The carryover request is already to go in. I send the request to the county. Again, I can dip into this as many times as I need to. Or I send it to the state. Once they give me that green light, I send you guys the budget. You approve the budget, trying to make sure that all that is already ready to go. We're good for January 1. All your details are in what changed.
30015.
And the very last page is also our immunizations. And again, just showing... I really forced Deanna's hand on some of this with our immunizations, of how much we're bringing in.
Right.
And if it is for the clinic and we used to take it out of our office supply or our 1159, I want to get it to its actual program so that I can measure the program and see, mm-hmm. are my rates right? Do I need to increase charges? You know, are our fees schedule appropriate? Interesting that the state does not regulate the fee schedule for any of the health department services. We get to choose how much we charge for a birth certificate, a death certificate, a shot, anything else we're doing. Much of that we are asked to do for the medical side for free. We have free pregnancy testing. We will be doing syphilis testing. We do STI testing, which is what formerly was known as sexually transmitted diseases, as sexually transmitted infections now, STIs. A lot of that we do as a service, because the people who often need it, or who may need it, if they're not going to a physician routinely, then that creates a gap in our healthcare. And so we're trying to stand in that gap for a lot of our citizens. With that said, I need to be able to say, you know, can we afford to have, you know, this position in immunizations? Am I charging enough? Can I do, we do travel immunizations. You'll see my 4905 account travel. We bring in over $22,000 just in giving shots that nobody else around us is giving. There are other opportunities we have going forward to even expand other services as health, of healthcare. So that's just my bit on how I'm supporting these, all these other changes. It was a big change.
Yeah.
We went through a lot of erasers and pencils. But
so dialing back, oh, Joe, go ahead.
I have a question.
Yes.
On, let's see, 030015, autopsies.
Yes.
What, who do you, why do you autopsy?
Well, you'll see that the percentage that we used is zero currently, correct? We have that line in there because Dr. Pearson is your health officer who signs for a death in the county that occurs without an attending physician. So there could be reasons that we would have to perform an, or request an autopsy.
An autopsy is $6,000 to $9,000.
It, yes, yes, we do not, yeah, we do not have enough money in that fund, and I agree. This was part of, if we actually need to go back, we'll have to go and find other funds to add to it. Deanna, how much did we say the coroner was going to charge us? And do you know?
The total we were given was $2,500 for an autopsy. I know Ronnie had called
in. Okay. So if we were working with the coroner here, so because the coroner, we're fortunate to have a coroner who really has not charged us for any of the local autopsies, but that potential, that could be a potential at some point. And so I want to be sure that we preserve the line. Uh-oh. Even though we have not utilized it in a very long time.
I see. It dropped from 25 to...
Yeah. I, really, to get anything squeezed into this, I squeezed out everything I could. Okay. And so if I could...
I just...
Yep, that's why. Absolutely. And it's also... I mean, because I even wondered if we should even keep it. Or should we just... But there again, as soon as I take it out, we're going to have something come up, and then I'm going to be coming right back to you to say, okay, now give me a line for autopsies. Right now, I could do it by transfers if I Thank needed you. To cover the deficit.
Good question, Joe.
Yeah.
Anything else? Well, I appreciate the very detailed explanation and the logic behind the moves. That was very helpful. And, you know, this council's been very supportive of the health department in the past, and
yes.
we've enjoyed to see that journey from the dark days to where it is now, and yeah. look forward to the... To the pivot to the new direction.
I really feel like I said, we're just getting going. So,
thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Dropped your pen.
Yeah. Thank you. I heard it.
Okay. Thank you. Great report.
Okay. I think we're ready for EMS. Steven's smiling back there. I hope he's still smiling and.
He's wanting an ambulance. That's.
I'm at your mercy.
That is tab number 10. We're getting there, everybody. Just a few more. We're almost there. All right, just to kind of set the stage to remind everybody, the EMS budget is split between two funds. The operational fund of the revenues that EMS generates is one fund, and then the tax revenue from the EMS income tax in the other. And so for the most part, a line item is split in half 50-50. There are a couple of exceptions, but for the most part, that is what, if you take the line items in any one, it should match in the other. So, Stephen, in our books, the first one is 1151, if that makes a difference to you. But
that's where I'm at as well.
Okay. And we do have the Form 1, which I believe, no, it's still the split as well. I didn't know if we had one that showed the whole budget before the split. But so, anyway, I'll turn it over to you to direct our attention to wherever you would like us to look.
Okay. Well, let's just start at 1, huh?
Sure.
I would just acknowledge right away the assistant director line is probably going to have the most discussion. And so I would just say let's filter through everything first and then tackle that project at the end.
Okay.
So office manager, 2.5% raise, paramedic supervisor, paramedic EMTs, all 2% raises is what I've asked for. EMS part-time, kept them at the same rate moving into 2026. Holiday pay is plugged in. EMS overtime is set at 20,000. So 40,000 per budget, or for both budgets total. Reason being, as we look to finalize our expansion with those three additional positions, the need for overtime is likely going to dwindle very quickly. You may say, hey, what's your evidence, Stephen? And that's fine, I've got some. So 2025 year to date, our overtime is $103,631, and that's with those three openings right now. So we had two of the three filled for the first quarter, and then unfortunately, I guess it would be a total of a quarter because it was kind of a blend of quarter one and quarter two. Unfortunately, those two positions, we had to open those back up. And so we're looking to fill those three positions with our current paramedic cohort, which we have three students that are currently 3 months from graduation, which is kind of wild. And they will fill those positions. All three of those, two of the three of those are under contract for 2 years with us. And then we actually just had Ms. Nissa Moore pass her paramedic exam. So there was the fourth paramedic, and we are working on onboarding her and getting her ready to be out on her own. So fully anticipate us to further drop our overtime usage. If you look at 2023, we'll go back a few years and just look at the overtime hit we had there before we transitioned fully to this 48-96 rotation. We started advocating for additional staffing. Our annual overtime for 2023 was $277,000, whereas 2024, our total was $125,000. So we've made huge strides in terms of our overtime usage. And I expect us to continue to do so. Anything major besides assistant director, we'll come back to that.